Okay, so we saw Gomorrah yesterday. We have been discussing the principle that we were introduced to by Shmuel. Shmuel told us in Daf Hei Omer Beis that you can have a Beis Din of less than three. Now, he actually spoke about a Beis Din of two. Tosas pointed out, and we're going to see shortly, that if you can have two, then you can have one as well. So Shmuel is clearly of the opinion that you do not need to have three. Even if you have less than three, that's okay. However, Reb Avohu says it's not true. Everybody holds that you must have three dayonim. L'divrei HaKoel. And the Gemara said, fine. So Machlokes Amoraim, that's legitimate. So must it be three or not necessarily three? So according to Shmuel, it doesn't necessarily have to be three. According to Ravo, it does necessarily have to be three. By the way, we're talking about essentially monetary matters. So have a look at the Gemara. Where the Gemara said, Lema Katanoi. The first word on the line is Shikul, Shikul Hadas. About halfway down the Omud, maybe slightly lower than halfway downward. So Lema Katanoi, let us suggest that this is actually a Machlokas Tanoim, meaning must you have three or not necessarily? Why? We have been discussing until now that it's a machlokes amoraim, that maybe, says the Gemara, in fact, it's machlokes tanoim. Because what does it say? It says in the following, in the Brice, in the following, bitsua bishloisha. The word bitsua, Rashi says one word, pshara. Compromise. We're going to be discussing quite a bit in the sugyas coming up this principle of a compromise, which is a halachic concept. So, bitzua bishloisha, even to forge a compromise, needs to have three dayonim. Divrei Rabbi Meir, v'chachomim oimrim, that no, pshara b'yachid. A pshara could be done with one. So, we seem to have a machloikas, at least with regard, not to paskining a monetary shaila, but with regard to arranging a compromise. Do you have to have three dayonim? That is the opinion of Rav Meir. And the Chachamim said that no, you don't. Now,
Is there a reason why it's Bitsua at one point and then Bishara at another point?
I don't know. No, it seems to be those words are interchangeable. Now, Savruha, we initially thought that Lekula Alma, all opinions would agree that Makshinon Pshara. Ladin, that we equate a pshara with a din, meaning whatever we require for a pshara, for a compromise, that's what we would require also for a din. So this machlokes between Rav Meir and the Chachamim, although specifically they were not talking about din, meaning they were not talking about how many dayanim do you need to paskin the din, they were rather talking about a pshara, but for the moment we're assuming that everybody holds it's the same principle. And if that's the case, so my love, b'hol kamiflagi, wouldn't it be true to say that the following is the machlokes? Demar sovar din bishloisha, umar sovar din bishnayim, or be'echod, it's all the same. So therefore, the machlokes that we have quoted the name of Shmuel and Rav Avohu, must you have three dayonim for a din, would seem to be machlokes. Tanoim, even though the Tanoim were not discussing din, rather they were discussing Pshara. But for the moment, we're assuming that Pshara and din all have the same concepts. We'll see in a moment in Rashi why we're comparing them. So whatever you require for a Pshara, you require for a din. So if we have a Machlokas with regard to Pshara three or less, then presumably for a din, the same Machlokas would be true, three or less. I.e., the Machlokas Shmuel and Rav Avohu is a Machlokas Tanoim. Look at Rashi. Lema ketanoi hadamrinon de Shmuel v'Rav Avohu pligi. That which we said that is a Machlokas between Shmuel and Rav Avohu. How many dayanim must you have on the bezin? Must you have three or not necessarily? Let us suggest that that's actually a Machlokas Tanoim. Why, what's a machlokes tanoim? Says the Gemara. It says Rashi, excuse me, because bitsua pshara. compromise. Savruhu, Rabbanon, who's Savruhu? Savruhu means they thought. Who's they? Who's they? Says the Gemara. Says Rashi, Savruhu, Rabbanon, Amaroi. We thought that the Rabbanon, meaning the Amaroim, held what? Bnei HaYeshiva, those learning in Yeshiva, Uba'u Lameima, they wanted to initially suggest, Mehocha, based on his Braisa, the B'dashmul Rabavol Pligi. But the Machlekas Tanoim is actually the same Machlekas as Shmuel and Rabavohu. So they said the following. The Kula Alma, both opinions, meaning Rabbonon v'Rabbi Meir, Makshinon Pshara Ledin. They equate, for the moment we're assuming, shortly we'll see if this changes, but for the moment we're assuming that Pshara and Din are all equitable. Dixiv Mishpat Utstoko. Now Mishpat, obviously, is always referring to Din. What's Tztoko referring to? So Rashi says, Vamrinon lekamon, later on we say, Dezehu Bitsua. But the word Tztoko is referring to Bitsua, meaning Pshara. And you see, it's put in the same sentence as Mishpat. Alma, so you see, De Iskush, it's compared le Mishpat. So whatever we require for Mishpat, meaning to Paskin a Din, presumably that's what's required also for a Pshara. So if I have a Machloikas, how many dayanim you need for a pshara, then presumably the same machloikas applies also for din. Says the Gemara, first word on the line, loy, no, you're wrong. De kula alma din bishloisha. It may well be that when you come to monetary matters, all parties agree you do have to have three. Don't tell me that the machloikas with regard to pshara refers also to din. And therefore, it turns out we have a machloikas with regard to din, whether you need three or less. No, with regard to din, it could well be that you have to have three. So what is the machloikas over here? Machloikas is pshara the same? The Hocha Bahaka Miflegi, and rather the Machloikas between Reb Meir and the Chachomim is about the following. The Mar Sovar Makshinon Pshara Ledin, Umar Sovar Loi Makshinon Pshara Ledin. There is a discussion, says the Gemara, maybe this is really the discussion. Do we or don't we compare Pshara to Din? So everybody may well hold that din requires three. And the question is, in fact, whether pshara is the same. So if we have a machloikas between Reb Meir and Chachomim, how many do we require for pshara? They don't mean to say that the same machloikas would also apply. How many do you need for din? Everybody may well hold you need three for din. The question is whether pshara requires the same as what it does for din.
Maybe can I ask a question? Yeah. Why would you need a Besdin for Pshara to begin with? Pshara is a compromise. You need an arbitrator. Someone's going to help both parties have a meeting to the mind. A Besdin is someone says, we have a problem. You have to decide who has to pay who.
Yes, we're going to see this, a whole halachic concept of a Pshara. This is going to be discussed coming up. It's a good question. A pshara also has to be, we'll see later, has to be also adjudicated and has to be, needs a hachra, and he needs a svara, and he needs a halacha. We'll see. So at this stage of the game, the machloikas between Reb Meir and Chachomim with regard to pshara is not necessarily the same as it is regard to din. And it could well be that with regard to din, everybody agrees you've got to have three dayanim. And the question is, what about Pshara? Is Pshara the same as Din, or it's not the same as Din? That's the question. Okay, I've just got to, give me 3 seconds, please.
Yosef, you okay?
Sorry?
Okay.
Yeah, just
Okay.
looking down into the Gemara a bit closer. So I disappear from the camera.
Yosef is with us. Okay. So at this stage of the game, we're saying Pshara is a machlekas, how many you need. And Din, it could well be that everybody holds you have to have three. Now, Pshara, if it's a machlekas, how many do we need in Pshara? So how many different opinions are there? Says the Gemara, Lema Tlosa Tanoi B'Pshara. It may well be that actually there are three opinions, no less, with regard to Pshara. The Mar Sova B'Shloisha, Umar Sova B'Shnaim, Umar Sova B'Yochid. Look at Rashi. Tlosa Tanoi Pligi B'Pshara. Maybe there are really three opinions, because Rav Meir Sovar B'Shloisha, he said so clearly, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel in the previous daf, he spoke about two. Sovala El B'Shnaim, Rabbonon de Pligia de Rav Meir Sovri B'Yochid. So we have a machlokes over here, three or one. But let's not forget, we had an opinion on the previous Amud about two. So basically, every single option you could think of, the Chayre exists. Says the Gemara, no. And this is very important. Says the Gemara, no. Omer of Acha Breid Ravika. V'i Tema, perhaps it was really Rav Yehma Bashalmiya. Man, the Omer, Trey, Afilu Chadnami. Don't make three opinions out of this. If you hold of two, then you hold of one as well. It's either three or less. But we don't really make a distinction between two and one. So why would anybody require two in the first place? If you're telling me that once I don't have three, then I might as well just have one. So why would anybody ever require two? Says the Gemara, V'hai de ka'omri trei. The reason why anybody ever suggested that you'd need two is not because otherwise it doesn't constitute a bezdin. It may well be according to that opinion that for a pshara you only need one. The reason why he requires two is for a different reason. Ki heichi delahava oleho sahadi. So that there should be witnesses. So therefore, if a pshara, if a compromise is agreed upon, so it may well be that I only actually need one dayon to adjudicate over that compromise. But let's not forget that I do need two witnesses who testify for us for a later stage that this compromise was agreed upon. Otherwise, one party might deny. What do you mean compromise? I never agreed to any compromise. So that's why there is an opinion that you need two, not because of the bezdin. With regard to the Bezdin aspect, one may well suffice, but I need two for purposes of Eidos. Look at Rashi. Man domar trei afil b'chad, machsher would also be kosher. Why? The kiven deloy makshinon leiladin. Because once I'm not comparing it to din, din requires three, but once you're telling me that I'm not comparing pshara to din, well, Mali Trey, Mali Chad. What's the difference if I have two or one? We've never seen essentially that there's a distinction between two and one. And for the only reason why he might require two Dayanim on the Bezdin is just that they themselves should be able to be the witnesses.
You mean like in case, so in other words, like if they come to an agreement, you want to have two aidim that say we both are maskim, that this is the way it goes, so there's no conflict later on.
Right, so that neither party can come back later and say, excuse me, we haven't had a din Torah yet. What do you mean din Torah? You agreed to a compromise, we're going 50-50. No, I never agreed. Well, I'm sorry, there's two aidim who say that you did, so it's game over.
So why can't we just simply have one dayan with two aidim?
But here I could double up. Yeah, I can have the two Dayanim who will also be the aid in query.
Okay.
Now, says the Gemara, Omar of Ashi. Shma mino pshoro eino sricho kinyan. Says Says Rav Ashi, I can learn from over here that a pshara does not require a kinyan. We'll see what this means in a second. What does it mean not require a kinyan? Says the Gemara, why? De'i salkadatoch tzricha kinyan. Because if you would say that you do require a kinyan, some sort of act of consent when you are engaged in a pshara, according to the opinion, we said there definitely is an opinion that says you need three for a compromise. Lomoli, why would you cry a three? Tiski, betray. Let it be sufficient to have even less than three, maybe two. Velikni mine, and do a kinyan. What does that mean? There's a very, very important principle, Rabbi Yisai. Even though the Gemara over here is mentioning it with regard to Pshara, but it's a general principle. The word Kinyan is sometimes misunderstood. Kinyan, literally translated, is an acquisition, to be koina. So if I buy your property from you, or I buy a table, I've got to do a Kinyan. But even though it's true, that's the literal translation, but the connotation, the concept of Kinyan exists in many areas of halacha, nothing to do with acquisitions. Have you ever, for example, been recently at an engagement where they do what's called the tanoim, and whoever's the rav who's being masada the tanoim takes off his hat or his yarmulke and he tells the chassan, right, could you lift up the yarmulke, or lift up, the kala lifts up the yarmulke? Have you ever done mechiras chometz with your rabbi and he tells you, right, lift up my yarmulke, etc.? That's called a kinyan. Now, what does it mean, a kinyan? I'm not acquiring anything. I'm just agreeing to appoint the rav as a shliach to sell my chometz. Or in the case of chosn v'kala, I'm just agreeing to abide by the rules of the agreement. And the answer is, and this is critical, that a kinyan is this acquisition or this act that is done, which is a sign of consent. So like I said, it's true. The literal translation of kinyan is acquisition. I'm buying a house, I'm buying a cow, I'm buying your table. But we use it in the general sense whenever I need a confirmation of your da'as and consent. So therefore you do an act which is called a ma'aser kinyan, even though you're not actually acquiring anything. So when you appoint somebody to sell your chametz for you, in what way does he become my shliach? If he's not my shliach, then he can't sell my chametz. I can't go and sell your table because it's not mine. The only way I can sell your table is if I've been appointed as your shliach, as your agent, to do so. So what makes me into a shliach? And the answer is, I have to have a confirmation of your da'as, that I hereby appoint you as a shliach. I have full consent to do so, and I'm going to do an act, which we call a ma'aser kinyan, and that confirms it. So that's why I have to lift up the rabbi's hat or the rabbi's yarmulke. That's why the chosn and kala or the parents have to lift up something as an act of consent, even though we're not buying or acquiring anything, but we hereby agree, parents of the chosn, parents of the kala, that I commit to XYZ to get the chosn married on a certain day and to buy him a house and to buy him some clothes. So I lift up the yarmulke, that is an act of a kinyan. Now, when it comes to a pshara, this is what Rav Ashi is discussing. They thrash it out and they come to an agreement. Fine, we're going 60-40. Do the two parties have to do a kinyan to confirm their das and consent? This is what Rav Ashi is pointing out. Now, if I have an opinion that says that a pshara requires a bezdin of three, not less. Not less. Now, whenever I have a bezdin of three, I don't need you to do a kinyan. Imagine we have a straightforward monetary argument. I say you owe me $1,000. You say no, you don't. We go to a Beis Din, there's three Dayanim, and the Beis Din paskin in one particular direction. Do the two parties now have to do a Maisa Kinyan to confirm their consent? Absolutely not. Why? Because the Beis Din have paskin there, whether you like it or not. I don't need your consent. I need your consent to send the Rav as a shliach to sell your chometz, because nobody can enforce that. I need your consent to show me that you're happy to keep your agreements with regard to looking after the chasen and kala, because nobody can enforce that. But if a Beis Din of three paskin that this is a pshara, then I don't need your consent. I don't need your consent.
Hold on one second. If it's a pshara is a compromise. So right. Why would you need three? You need three when you have to, one says to the left, one says to the right. You need a third one to decide
You asked that before. It's a good question. We'll see that a pshara has a halachic connotation to it. But either way, if I need a Beis Din of three, because a pshara apparently is not just any old agreement compromise. Apparently it's a whole process in Beis Din, details of which to be discussed. Well, once I require a Beis Din of three, at least according to the opinion, it's a machlokes, but according to the opinion that I require a Beis Din of three, then I would not need the two parties then to do a Maisa Kinyan to show their consent. Why? Because whether they consent or don't consent, well, I'm sorry to tell you, it's bad luck. The Beis Din have enforced it. Therefore, said Rav Ashi, what about the other way around? If you do require a kinyan from the two parties, then we go back to what Rav Larry was saying before. If I've done a Maisa Kinyan and I say, listen, I have this big argument with you. I say you owe me $1,000. You say you don't. Let's come to some sort of compromise, albeit with the help of a dayan. But let's do a Maisa Kinyan to confirm that whatever the agreement, we consent to it. Well, once I consent to it, then Larry would be right. If I consent to a compromise, then why would I need a Beis Din of three anymore? And that's what Rav Ashi is saying. Shma mino, the last narrow line, it must be a pshara eino tzricha kinyan. It must be that a pshara doesn't really need a kinyan. Why? Because the isal kadatoch tzricha kinyan. Because if you needed a kinyan, that means you need the clear consent by the two parties. Then leman domat tzricha tlasa. There's an opinion that it says you need three dayonim lomeli. Why? Betray. Even two or even one should be enough. Velikni minei. Let them do a kinyan. We hereby consent. Whatever the dayon paskins, that's all we're happy to do. Why would you need three? It must therefore be, says Rav Ashi, that apparently a pshara does not require a kinyan, and that's why there can be an opinion that says you need three dayanim to enforce it. However, the hilchasa pshara tzricha kinyan. The halach is that a pshara does need a kinyan. Now look at Rashi. Tiski betray velikni minei. Let it be sufficient to have even less than three dayanim, and I'll do a kinyan to consent. The kivan, the komu minei, Reb Larry, these are mamish your words. Reb Larry, you have the Rashi. Second last Rashi on the Omud. Mamish your words. The kivan, the konu minei, once they did a kinyan, which means they have consented to accept the compromise, lomali bezdin. Well, who needs a bezdin? I only need a Beis Din if they're going to paskin a shayla, they're going to look in the Shulchan Aruch, we think this and we think that, and the halach is this. But if we're happy to come to a compromise, listen, let's not go to Beis Din. Let's just, for the sake of Shalom, agree to go 50-50 or 60-40. And if everybody's happy with that, what does it mean everybody's happy? They've done a kinyan to clearly state that we consent to this. Then why would you need a Beis Din? Elo matana ba'almas, like a gift. Why am I giving you $500 out of $1,000? Because that's a psak halacha? No, I've decided that's what I'm going to do for the sake of Shalom. Umidaitoi, and I've done it with my consent. He missed Kayemes, and now that's Kayom, because once you consented, you can't back out. So why would you ever require a whole Bezdin? Leyapois koyach bezdin da afal gav de loikonumine. It must be that there's no kinyan, and we are giving the rights to a bezdin to enforce the compromise. Loi nihadru, and they cannot now back down. So it's either or. There are two ways that you're going to end up agreeing to a compromise. Either without a bezdin, but then we have to do a kinyan to show we consented, or without a kinyan, but then the bezdin will enforce it because it's a bezdin.
Why do I care if it's a kinyan or a bezdin? Like, what's the big deal?
No, that's what the Gemara is saying. So Rav Ashi says, if there's an opinion that says that you require a bezdin, then clearly there was no kinyan going on over here, because one says a kinyan, once you've consented to do a compromise, then that is legally binding and you'd never need a bezdin.
So what, you'd pick up a thing and say, do we agree? We have a kinyan?
Right, exactly. Just like you appointed your rav to sell your chometz. Quite right. However, the hilchasas, Pshara does need a kinyan, says Rashi in the last line. Vafilu nasis b'shloisha, tremendous chidush. Even if the pshara is done in the presence of a full bezdin of three, you still need to do a kinyan. Do any of you remember a very, very special Jew who just passed away? He used to live in Ramah Aleph, then in Gimel. His name was Reb Shimi Weiss. Is that name familiar to anybody here?
Yeah.
Yeah, you remember him, Reb Rom?
I knew Shimi Weiss.
I know his stepson.
How do you know him, Larry?
Unless it's somebody else I'm thinking about, I apologize.
His actual name was
Shimshon. Was it Shimshon? Shimshon Weiss?
Yeah.
I know Shimshon Weiss. In business.
Shimshon Weiss unfortunately passed away
about 2 months ago.
That's right. Very recently. Maybe a little bit more. Yeah.
He got sick very quickly, and Yeah, I knew him. I knew him in business.
Yeah. So it was very scary. I went to visit him, and he looked terrible. And then I kept calling him. There's no answer. And eventually, his son calls and he says, his father passed away a month ago. I couldn't believe it. So I want to tell you a story that Shimi Weiss told me in this Be'ez Hashem should be Le'ilu Nishmasi. Shimshi Weiss, at various times in his life, was a very successful businessman. He did well in America, amongst other things. He had a very expensive art collection, even though he was swindled by a partner. He lost money there. I'll call Pony Voifen. He had a very large apartment here in Gimel Echad. Afterwards, he moved to Gimel Stein. And a very, very large apartment, extremely large apartment, like it was a whole villa, really very large apartment. And he had a claim against his Baal Dira. He claimed that the Baal Dira was not taking care of the apartment, and there were problems with infestation or with mold or various things. And he insisted that the Baal Dira owed him tens of thousands of shekel. Tens of thousands of shekel. And the Baal Dira refused to pay. So he asked me, what should he do? So I said, listen, I'm not a lawyer and I'm not a dayan, but if you think that you have a case and you insist that he owes you tens of thousands of shekels, then you should go to a bezdin. You should go to a bezdin, take him to a bezdin. He said, which bezdin? So I said, well, I know Rabbi Kornfeld has a bezdin. In fact, it's in Gimel. At the time, it was in Gimel. This is a story about a year or two ago. You book an appointment with a bezdin, and you take him to the bezdin, and listen, whatever the bezdin say, that's what they say. It sounds like you're convinced that you have a good case. So, Be'ez Hashem, you'll win the Din Torah. So that's what he did. He booked a slot in the Beis Din and he paid his fee, all kedas for kedin. He told me sometime afterwards. I said, by the way, what happened in the Din Torah? He said, well, I'll tell you what happened. He said, I came with a whole file of notes and documents. In fact, I showed it to a lawyer just to ask him what he thought. And he said, in American terms, it's a no-brainer. You're a dead cert to win. There's no question about it. Your Baldira has no case whatsoever. What he's done is illegal. And if he's in a Baldira, he has certain commitments and he should have painted the apartment and he should have fixed this and he should have fixed that. And you clearly stand to win a large amount.
Excuse me. So he owned the apartment. He was renting it out to this
Baldira? No. He himself was the renter.
Oh, he was the renter.
He was the renter, and he was claiming from his Baldira that there were various things in the apartment which had not been fixed up. He claimed it was to the point that it was literally non-livable in it. There was mold, etc., etc., etc. And to fix it was very expensive. Like I said, it was an expensive apartment. And he insisted that damage was done to his health, etc., 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 etc. And the lawyer said, poshut l'chayra, that he stood to make a very, very good claim of thousands of shekels. He came to Rav Kornfeld's Beis Din, and they had a time, a slot for their appointment, 5 o'clock in the afternoon. So they're there promptly at 5 to 5, and they were sitting there, the two of them, Shimi Weiss, Zichron Livracha, and this Baldir, I don't know who he is. And you can imagine the atmosphere was very tense between the two of them sitting there in the waiting room. The Baldir knew full well that Shimi is about to sue him for thousands and thousands of shekel, and in all likeliness, the Baldira knew as well that the way this is going is he's going to lose the money as well, because it seemed to be a very, very one-sided argument. At about 5 o'clock, when they were supposed to go in, the door opens, and somebody in the room steps out and says, listen, we apologize, we're running a bit late, because there's a bit of a complicated dinter that we're involved with at the moment. But as soon as we're done, you'll be straight in. If you don't mind just waiting for a few moments. Fine, no problem. Shimi described to me when the door closed, he couldn't hear the details, but he could hear the yelling and the screaming. He could hear the yelling and the screaming between clearly two partners. That's what he could overhear. It was two partners in business who apparently had a major, major fallout. And he said the language and the yelling and the screaming that was being thrown from one to the other, he said it was hard to hear. Fine, he waited patiently. And after a while, the previous dinteira finished and they were told, okay, Shimi and your Baldira, you can now come in and it's your turn. And Shimi said the following. Shimi said, listen, because we were made to wait around a little bit, so I could not help overhearing. I don't know the details, etc. I didn't try and be nosy, but I could hardly help hearing the shouting and the screaming. And I could make out, apparently, it was two business partners who had founded a business together and then had a major, major, major fallout. So Shimi said, I guess that these two people were great friends initially and had formed a business together. And some major fallout had occurred, and look where it's taken them. Bitter, bitter enemies cursing each other out. And all the sholim and the ahava that existed between them initially has all gone up in smoke. There's no ahava, there's no sholim, they hate each other. And on that basis, says Shimi, I'm not prepared to fall out with my Baldira. Even though I claim he owes me money, but I'm on good terms with him. And I see what happens if you come to a Beis Din and you argue about money, you can end up the most bitter enemies. And on that basis, I hereby drop the entire case. He told me the Baldira literally almost fainted on the spot. Baldira must have known that in all likelihood, the Beis Din would have paskened against him. But for the sake of Sholem, Shimi waived the whole case. He said the Baldira just gave him a massive hug on the spot and could not thank him enough. It's a very, very, very special story that Shimi told me. It's very moving, especially, as I said, because Shimi is no longer with us. But this story should be Le'ilu Nishmase, how somebody was mavata on a lot of money for the sake of Sholim, for the sake of Ava. There are things more important than money in life. In fact, most things are more important than money. But certainly Sholim, the last Mishnah in Shas. Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Machzik Brocha, Ela B'Kli, Machzik Brocha, which is Sholim. The Kli which holds Brocha is Sholim. I was recently involved in a particular shul where there's terrible machloikas, and they're trying to raise funds for a building. And one of the members told me it's very, very bizarre. They cannot raise funds. They cannot raise funds. And he said, I have no doubt whatsoever that the reason why they can't do so is because there's no shalom in that shul. And if there's no shalom, then there's no bracha.
Rabbi, can I add something to the Shimshon story? Because what's amazing even more about that story is it's possible that he is where he is in that story because he's a person that's overcome tremendous, tremendous. People open, screwed him and this and that. And after like years and years and years of battling with this one and that one and this one, it got to the point it was like, at the end of the day, I'm not getting anywhere anyhow. Like, what's the money is just not, I've had so much aggravation. And yeah. It's almost like that's the message I think he received because he was not a gvir at the end at that point. He's no, not he's been, not. You know, he was in a little bit of trouble financially. And to make that decision is really unbelievable.
Unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Okay. Yehi Zechrei Baruch. I wish everybody a wonderful
day. He was a great, by the way, I just want to say, he was a great, I knew him briefly. We were involved in a business deal before he got sick. He was an unbelievable person. I had the same exact experience. I was chasing him for weeks. I couldn't find him. I finally called him. His wife answered the phone during Shiva. She goes, Shimshon just died. I was like, what? I almost fell off my chair. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah. Okay. We should hear Besuras Tavis, everybody.
Amen. Amen.